Northern Brewer is the proud sponsor of the Brewing Network's Jameel Show. They have the widest selection of domestic and imported malts and grain, hops from all over the world, and a full line of liquid and dry yeast. No matter what style of beer you're brewing, Northern Brewer has the ingredients you need, plus fast shipping and expert staff to help you make the best beer possible. Please visit northernbrewer.com for all things homebrew.
All homebrewers have a favorite commercial beer, but not everyone can make it. Welcome to the show that teaches you how, where you can challenge two masters, Jameel Zainasheff and Tasty McDole. This is the Jameel Show. Can you brew it? Now here's Jameel.
Hey, howdy, hey, my brewing brothers and sisters.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to the Cho.
The Cho? The Chode?
Doing the Cho again tonight.
Enjoying the Chode. The Chode brought to you by Northern Brewer. The wonderful folks at Northern Brewer, northernbrewer.com. They've been sponsoring this show since the early wet behind the ears days.
The beginning, yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. They great folks. And, you know, the more I hang out with them, the more I love those folks.
They are great people.
They are wonderful folks. You know, yeah. Smart, hardworking,
right.
Really passionate about what they do and about the industry, and you know, trying to help. You know, you think they try and kill all the competitors, but apparently not.
No, I think they see that there's plenty for everybody.
Yeah, it's an industry thing.
Right.
And you know, great folks to support. You should always support your local homebrew shop.
Yeah.
You know, make sure you're buying stuff at your local homebrew shop because, you know, if they go out of business, then, you know, no, there's not a lot of new homebrewers coming to the market. But, you know, there's a lot of things that you're not going to find at your local homebrew shop. They're not able to you know, carry the breadth and range of great stuff like Northern Brewer does.
Right.
So when you're looking for that specialty item or, you know, you're ready to buy yourself, you know, some big time gear, you know, Northern Brewer, check it out. There are lots of great stuff that you probably didn't even know was available. You'll find on northernbrewer.com. So browse the website. Every time I get a catalog from Northern Brewer, I place it next to the bowl. I go through and I see, I'm like, oh, wow, look at that. They've got like a refractometer that reads in, you know, specific gravity.
Yeah,
you know, they've got all sorts of cool stuff. I'm like, oh, I never knew that.
Yeah, when new stuff comes around, they're one of their first ones to have it.
Right, and lots of grains and stuff that we use on this show right here to do all our Can You Brew It beers. We get stuff from Northern Brewer; they send it to us, and you know, especially when we're doing British beers, things like that, they carry all the Simpsons, which are irreplaceable. If you talk to any brewer, you know, worth their salt, they'll tell you the Simpsons has a great flavor.
Well, talk to any cloner worth his salt. You better use the Simpson malts.
Yeah, you better use it. Yeah,
it does make a difference.
Right, yeah. Right. If the original brewery has used something like Simpsons, you better make sure you're using Simpsons because you're just not going to get the same flavor. So, yeah, very important. So check out northernbrewer.com. Great people and you know, great sponsor of this show. So they're paying for the show, so you don't have to. So the least you can do is check it out. Send them an email. Tell them you appreciate it. What have you been up to, Tasty? You've been brewing. Been keeping busy?
Yeah, I brewed a lot in early May, and I was doing an experiment with my American Pale Ale. A brewer that I know suggested that if I want more body in my pale ale, I might use a little, like a large charge of low crystal, like a crystal 10.
Right.
So I took my American Pale, which is like... well, it's my, I don't know, I guess the base malt's like 73%. Is that right? No. I think it turned out to be that. I took 11% of the base out and replaced it with 11% Crystal 15.
Mm-hmm.
That added to the 4% that I already had for 40, which, of course, is still in there.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it was another 6% maybe of carapils.
Mm-hmm.
So I had this recipe. It's got this big...
Is this your lighter...
yeah, like 1054 beer,
uh-huh.
32 IBUs, and I made this beer. It attenuated really well. It was freaking fantastic.
I
poured it at Boonville.
It's a dry taste, but quite a bit of body.
Yeah, a lot of body, just like nice. Just like I was looking for, a whole uh-huh. ton of body. Yeah.
Huh.
Couldn't believe I got the attenuation. It finished like at 12, which is where I wanted to finish.
Well, you know what's popular is these, you know, becoming more popular is these low alcohol, highly hopped beers, session beers. Yeah. You know, kind of a West Coast session beer, 3.8%, 3.5 to 4%,
sure.
And you know, hop like a good West Coast IPA.
Yeah, hop forward, have that balance of
right.
an IPA.
And one of the things is you know, getting enough you know, body and right. malt character in it. Right. It sounds like a good way to do it.
Well, Crystal 15. I mean, what is regular two row? 3.5 or something? What's the Lullabon on?
1.8.
Okay, pretty low. So I mean, I'm adding not so much more to it mm-hmm. with the Crystal 15. I wish I had access to. Well, of course, I can get it someplace. You know, Crystal 10, like it's right, even lighter.
Right.
Use more of it even.
Well, I wonder what Roger at Triple Rock. I went and tasted his, and I thought that was really great. And he was saying, "Oh, I wish it had a little bit more body to it." But you know, I could drink gallons of that stuff. Yeah, I really loved it. Yeah.
I think it's a great beer style. It's a light hoppy beer. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm really pleased to see that kind of style coming forward.
Right.
And, you know, I wonder if, you know, the work that you've done in the past on those, you know, golfing, you know,
golf
low
beers.
Alcohol,
yeah, sure.
You know, but hoppy beers has, right. you know, had some effect.
You never know.
All right. Well, we also have with us the always lovely Kim Wood.
Hello, hello, hello.
Hello, Kim.
Well, you know, I'm gearing up for summer vacation, and what better way to do that than to spend some time with my favorite CYBI guys?
Yeah, who are those?
Where are the other guys?
They haven't shown up yet, but, you know, maybe soon.
Yeah, summer vacations. Yeah, you do that summer thing, right? And that's when you do what?
You have to. You do things like NHC and go on some Westie trips and, mm-hmm. you know, go to the America's Hat and, you know, forget this, you know, working during the summer. It's ridiculous.
You know, you almost seem like you could be Canadian.
Yeah, I think I should be.
Yes. You've got a very Canadian vibe about you.
Yeah, they're good people. They're good people. I'm dedicated to Canadians. Yeah, dedicated to Canadians, eh? So, yeah, next time you have to Skype me in from Canada, maybe.
Cool. We could do that.
All right, sweet.
All right. Well, and JP, what's our challenge for today?
Steve from Texas wants to know if you could brew the Hobgoblin by Witchwood.
Hobgoblin by Witchwood.
Can you brew it? Interesting question.
They always ask that.
they always do.
It's like a theme. I don't know why.
I wonder if that's because we tell them that they should or... or that they just figured out on their own. You know, interesting. I've always enjoyed the Witchwood Hobgoblin. It's kind of, I think, a love or hate relationship people have with that beer. Some people don't, you know, care for it at all, and I always thought it was always quite nice. It's got a lot of character. It actually ships fairly well across the pond. It doesn't seem that abused by the time it gets here. But our good friend Neil Spake, he's our Great Britain correspondent.
Our man in the field.
He does the ScottishBrewing.com website, and he's very passionate about all those breweries, and so he handles that for us. And he did an interview with Witchwood that we'll hear in a minute. And this was Kim Woods' challenge. She's one of our master brewers for Can You Brew It, and she stepped up and brewed this one for us.
Mistress brewer.
Master, mistress. It all sounds very kinky.
I was going to say, don't use the word mistress. Not on this show. It's a different one.
Or dominatrix. Yeah. Then. Okay. Yeah.
That's different. That's
dominatrix brewer.
Or dominatrix brewer.
Ferment. Yeah, ferment.
What does she wear when she brews is what I'm thinking.
An apron and a mash paddle and boots, and that's it.
Nice.
And a mask.
Yeah.
All right, so let's listen to the interview from Neil and Witchwood, and I don't know, we'll be back right after this.
In a world where everything has been lost.
What happened to the city? It's in ruins.
Only one man has the ancient knowledge to restore civilization.
I need a drink. Oh no, the liquor store's been ransacked.
You looking for beer, stranger? Boy, all the liquor got drunk up in the first 25 minutes of the apocalypse.
Wait, there's still some bottles over... Oh, no. Those are non-alcoholic beer.
I reckon you better stick to arrowroot tea and a desperate nomadic existence like the rest of us.
People, I'm a home brewer. I know how to make alcohol.
Oh,
it can't be done. Come with me if you want the beer. Okay, I'm gonna need some big plastic buckets.
He is the chosen one. The prophecies say that he's gonna get us wasted.
Someone start heating water. And
from the creators of Northern Brewer, the people who brought you 7.99 Brew Saver shipping, massive selection, and superior customer service comes...
Hey, what are you doing, man?
Writing a review of WLP 400.
What? You're reviewing yeast?
Yeah. White Labs has home brewer reviews of all their strains. Are you new to these interwebs? Check it out.
That's awesome.
White Labs, your source for great yeast, invites all brewers to visit whitelabs.com to read and write your own reviews of all their yeast strains. Get real-world tips and tricks from other brewers who have made the most of their vials and post your own experiences. It's another way White Labs brings you closer to the best yeast on the planet.
And send. There you go.
You misspelled flocculate, dude.
What?
White Labs. It's all in the vial.
When you hear Blickman Engineering, think innovation, passion, quality, and customer service. Blickman gear is designed by brewers to give you a sense of pride in your equipment. At Blickman, they know what makes brewing a pain and build gear that makes it fun. Like the intuitive beer gun, a completely different approach to filling bottles. The Therminator wort chiller, a new take on a plate chiller that's sized for flow, performance, and the high groundwater temps homebrewers face every day. The Brewmometer, a brilliant weldless thermometer design with brewing parameters right on the dial. The Autosparge, ultimate simplicity for preventing an overflow or running your mash tun dry. And much more, like the modular top-tier brewing stand, conical fermenters, and their Boilermaker brew pots. With more cutting-edge equipment coming soon, keep up with the latest from Blickman at BlickmanEngineering.com and stay on the cutting edge.
You're listening to the Brewing Network.
This is Neil Spake for the Brewing Network's Can You Brew It show, and I have on the phone with me the head brewer at Witchwood, Jeff Drew. It's a pleasure to have you on the show, Jeff.
Hi, Neil. How are you?
Very good, thank you.
Good.
You came to Witchwood Brewery from Marston's, right, through the purchase back in 2008?
Well, a bit about my brewing background. I've been in the industry since 1979, many, many years ago, and I joined what was then Whitbread's, which is a very old and established brewery back from 1740s. I did about 15 years with Whitbread's and moved on to sort of the regional cask ale type breweries and went to work for Morelands in Abingdon in Oxfordshire. Okay. And they were unfortunately taken over by Green King. Oh, I probably heard about Green King in the brewing industry in the UK. And they shut the brewery. So I went to work for Breakspears in Henley then. So I had a bit of a checkered history in terms of brewing companies. And then from Brigsby's, I went to work for Ringwood in the New Forest in Hampshire, which was in 2001. Now, I was quite happily working as head brewer in Hampshire in the New Forest till 2007 when the company was sold to Marston's, hence the Marston's link. So, as they say, in June 2007, I became part of the Marston's group of breweries. And And later on, the following year, in 2008, Marston then acquired what was Witchwood Brewery. So, because I worked for Breakspears and still lived in Oxfordshire, my erstwhile boss of Marston's thought the fit was right for me to be made head brewer again of the Witchwood, because it had, you know, Witchwood beers and Breakspears beers being brewed, which I was used to brewing in Henley. So there was a nice tie-up back into the company. So it's a bit of a roundabout sort of way back into Witchwood, but you know, I have come back home to Oxfordshire. I am brewing Witchwood beers and Breakspears beers. Does that make sense?
Yeah, that makes perfect sense. I guess I didn't realize you were associated with Breakspear. And
yes, I had two good years in Breakspear down in Henley on Thames, and when I decided to leave to seek my fortune elsewhere, as you do, but I've come back to Breakspears, and I've come back and I'm actually working with the yeast and the vessels and the toppers and all the raw ingredients that I used to working with in Henley. I'm now working again with as part of the Witchwood brewery, which is part of Marston's PLC, you know?
Yeah, very good. I just got your email. Do you want me to phone you on the landline to continue?
No, I'm okay at the moment. I just don't want if my phone conks out, because I don't know about batteries and stuff, so we can try it. If you can, you know, if it suddenly goes, you've got my landline number. I'm new.
Yes, I do. Yes. Okay, then we'll just go ahead and continue.
So we'll carry on with this one for the as long as the battery holds up, which should be okay. It's a relatively new phone.
Okay, great. Were you a home brewer by any chance?
Well, I've done a little bit. I mean, I've been to university in Welsh Wales. That's where I'm from, Wales. And I went to Swansea University and did a bit of home brewing and a bit of winemaking, believe it or not, in my formative years in education. It wasn't particularly successful, as small home brewers struggle sometimes to get the quality and consistency right. But I'd always been fond of the noble art, and indeed them partaking of beer and wine, you know. Yeah. But I was interested when I was looking for jobs. I've been leaving university with a biochemistry degree, which, as you know, the biochemistry of the brewing process is integral to the quality of the whole the whole beer process and winemaking process. So I enjoyed my degree, and then I found that it was quite relevant to brewing beer. So hence I was sort of drawn into it, really, and I haven't looked back, really.
Ah, that's great. Well, like I said, it's a real pleasure to have you on the phone. We've had a number of requests for the beer we're going to talk about today, Hobgoblin.
Okay, yeah.
So it's obviously a very popular beer across the world. Do you know the origin of this beer?
Yes, it was. It's got a bit of history. The brewing in Witney. I don't know if you know anything about Witney and Witchwood Brewery itself. I don't know if you want to know anything about the history of that.
Yes, absolutely.
Would that be of interest to you?
Yep, absolutely. Yes.
So, well, Witchwood Brewery is in Witney in Oxfordshire in the Cotswolds in the United Kingdom, and it's Witney is famous for, well, they call it famous for the three B's, which is bread, blankets, and beer, because there's been a brewery in Witney since about the 1840s called Clinch's Brewery. That's C-I-C-L-I-N-C-H-S, Clinch's Brewery. And they were around for about 120 years. They owned 71 pubs, including about 14 in the centre of Witney itself. But in 1961, the 50 years ago, the board decided to sell up to a big brewery, a national brewery called Courage, and the brewery closed, and also ending a long tradition at that time of ending brewing in Witney, you know.
Right.
But it was resurrected in 1983 by a chap called Paddy Glennie, an Englishman who decided to, as was at the time, trying to open some microbreweries, and he opened it on the Eagles Malting Estate, called it the Glennie Brewery, and then later changed it to Witchwood Brewery, because Witchwood is an ancient medieval forest which borders onto Witney, so it had, you know, connotations of sort of elves and goblins and all sorts of things like that. So we changed the name quite soon after that. So in the 1990s, the name actually changed to Witchwood Brewery, and that's where it's stayed with ever since. Hobgoblin was really born, I suppose, in about 1988. It was a special brew for a wedding beer for a local landlord and his with his daughter's wedding,
right.
And they came to see the head brewer then, which was Chris Moss, who is sadly no longer with us, but he created the they created the ale of his life. The landlord said, "Oh, I'd like something, you know, dark and fairly strong, and nice and rich and flavoursome." So Chris got out his thinking cap and indeed his ingredients, and he came out with the legendary Hobgoblin. It was really from a pilot scale, a pilot brew of just a couple of barrels, and it's become infamous now in all over the world. So from small acorns, for whatever you want to say, you know, it's grown into a massive brand. But it's all started from a landlord saying, "Oh, I'd like a brew for my daughter," really, and it's amazing how it's grown from that, really.
It is. I think it has to be one of the best marketed beers in Britain for certain.
Well, it's brilliant the way it's captured the people's imagination. You know, you've seen the lager boy. You know, what's the matter, lager boy? I'm afraid you might taste something. I'm sure you've seen some of the imagery and some of the T-shirts around Hobgoblin. It's very, very clever, and you know, and it's, I suppose some of the imagery is a little bit frightening for children and things like that. But it's really captured the imagination of the real ale drinker, and it's really, as you say, it's gone from strength to strength. Not just with its imagery, but with its flavour, and it's now it's become what has been called the unofficial beer of Halloween in the United Kingdom. You know, thousands and thousands of landlords buy it up and down the country, especially in October most of October, for the Halloween season that we have over here, which I'm sure you do in the States. And
yes,
it really has taken off as they say, the unofficial beer of Halloween.
That's awesome. Obviously, it sounds like our U.S. President Barack Obama likes it as well.
Have you seen the pictures of him?
I read an article recently about David Cameron giving him a bottle.
That's right. Well, David Cameron is the MP for Witney, which is, so his office as when he was just an MP. Now, you know, obviously he's a PM, he's a Prime Minister, but when he's an MP, his office is literally a stone's throw from the brewery. So he decided one day, just in the run-up to to the election, which last year, came and had a brewery visit, and I showed him round. And he said how much he liked the beer, and he poured a pint, and it was a great photo opportunity and PR opportunity for Witchwood and indeed Marston's. And then, of course, we were delighted when England played USA in the World Cup, that they decided to have a little side bet, and the side bet didn't involve any pound notes or dollars, but a case of beer. And there it was, a picture plastered all over the world, I think, with the president and the prime minister exchanging bottles with Marston's and Witchwood Hobgoblin on centre stage, which was amazing. And somebody, clever person in marketing, actually nicknamed it then in lots of our communications with each other, says the unofficial beer of world leaders, which I thought was inspired.
Absolutely, yeah. Hopefully that really bolstered your sales in the States as well.
It certainly helped, I'm sure. You know, it was just a fantastic photo opportunity that money couldn't buy, or marketing could not buy that, couldn't it? It just had to happen that David Cameron and Barack were in the same place swapping beers, and then, good grief, there was our beer. It was wonderful. It really was good news.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, so let's talk about some of the specifics of this beer so that maybe some of our listeners can help to reproduce it.
Oh, blimey, don't want to make it too close, do we? Otherwise, they'd be buying that and not buying ours. But yes, I'm quite prepared to share some of our details and some of our you know, the way we do it, really, that's the main thing. But obviously, it's all to do with water and all ingredients and the way it all hangs together, isn't it? But, yes, by the way, what do you want to know, Neil?
First of all, what is your batch size there that you do for Hobgoblin?
Typically, it was 150 barrels, which is, in Newman, I suppose, is 24,500 liters. So
okay.
It's quite a big batch. So that's we do that typically three or four times a week.
Okay.
As a batch, 150 barrels, yeah?
Okay. What is the starting gravity?
The starting gravity, we're brewing it, you're familiar with the term original gravity, yeah? OG, as we call it in the UK?
Yes,
so
absolutely.
It's a gravity of 1046 or 46 is the original gravity. So a reasonably strong start to the setup, you know?
Right. And what does it finish out at? How well attenuated is it?
We try and keep it quite high, actually. So the finished gravity is round about between 11 and 12 PG, the final gravity. So it's got a lot of sweetness, or not, you know, an amount of sweetness, a lot of maltiness. So it's not overly dry, but full-bodied and flavorsome. So you get the sweetness of the malt and coming through, you know.
Yes, it is definitely very. I like the full body without it being so
yeah,
heavy.
Yeah, it's, you know, if you ferment it, some beers you can ferment right down, and they can taste a little bit thin. But we like the, I think people like the sweetness, the fullness, the overall mouthfeel of it, rather than feeling tart and too bitter on your mouth. It's a good warm, you know, good warm sweet to it.
Definitely. What is the color of this beer? Do you know?
The color. Yes, the color is. Are you aware of the? You're aware of the color? You know, Institute of Brewing or the European standard that we've got. We've got a color of around between 50 and 55. So we call it a ruby red color. So it's quite, you know, darker than your average pale ale or your average bitter. But yeah, but that color of about 50 is what we aim for in cask.
Okay. And what about the bitterness?
The bitterness around about 24 to 26 EBUs.
Okay. 24 to 26. Okay. And how about the grain bill for this beer? Either
the grains?
Yeah, either we can work with percentages since we know your batch size, or if you're willing to do weights, that would be good too. Whatever you're comfortable with.
It's probably about, I think we'll do weights to be simple. About 90% is a pale malt.
Okay.
Okay. 2%, 7 to 8% is your crystal malt.
And do you know what color grade that crystal is?
It's 150.
150, okay.
And the chocolate is about 2%, and that's about 1,200 color.
Okay.
And we use a little bit of invert sugar, and okay. To go into the pump that in, or you know, pour that into the copper.
Okay. And what do you use that primarily for? Just more fermentability or sweetness or?
Basically, we want to try and produce as much beer out of a batch. So the mash tun is actually full at that sort of level at 150 barrels. So if we can add a bit of invert sugar, we can actually take it from 140 up to 150 barrels. So the invert sugar itself is of the same fermentability as purchased, as the same fermentability as the malt. So you're not getting anything extra, but you're just extending the brew length, I suppose, for want of a better word, to make sure you get 150 barrels, you know.
Okay, that makes perfect sense. And I assume
that makes sense, yeah.
Yeah, it does. I assume all of your malts are sourced from UK maltsters?
The malts purchase the malts, yeah, they're from typical English malts, spring varieties. And they're grown in the United Kingdom from a couple of different companies, you know, in the UK. Simpson's providing the coloured malts.
Okay, Well, that's good to know. One of our show's sponsors, Northern Brewer, carries Simpson malt. So.
All right. Yeah, they're good. They're good. They're very good and very traditional malting company. They've been around for, and they're still in the family. There are still Simpsons running the family firm. I know them quite well. They're very good company to deal with.
Wonderful. How about the mash on this? I assume it's a single infusion?
It's a single infusion mash tun, yeah. Typically we warm the pot, as they say. We warm it up to about 60, 67, 68 degrees C with hot water to make sure everything's right. And then we have we mash fairly thick, and we have a single 1 hour mash stand at 67 degrees C.
Okay. And what about water treatment? What is your water source? You mentioned that earlier as something very key.
Well, water is very key in terms of consistency and quality of any beer. We haven't got our own borehole water here in Witney, and we tried to extract it and trying to use our own borehole water, but that wasn't consistent enough or successful enough. So we've got another supply. And basically all we do, we add some chloride salt, some sodium and calcium chloride water treatment to the fullness of the product. You know, it classically gives product fullness to your beers. So yeah, we had a few kilos of different brewing salts to enable that consistency of fullness of product and palate.
Okay. Do you do any mash out?
Any what?
A mash out step where you raise the temperature of the mash just before the
sparge? No. Because the quality of the malt we use and the high enzymic quality of the malt, we a 60-minute stand, you get all the conversion of the starches and the proteins into sugars and amino acids that you can get all that with the quality of malt that we use in 60 minutes, and it's ready to run off then after 60 minutes.
Okay, and then I assume you start sparging?
Yeah, well, after 60 minutes, yeah, we start the sparge, and we sparge at between 72 and 76 degrees C, and we run off. It takes about 2.5 to 3 hours to run off the wort solution through the bed of grain, and gets pumped from as it runs off, gets pumped from the end back into the copper, and as you know, it's very very concentrated sweet sugar wort solution when it starts, and then right at the end it's very low gravity because we've extracted all the sugars that are available out of the mash.
Right. And then what is your boil time?
The boil time is a classic 60 minute boil, an external steam Calandria system, so the wort gets pumped out to an external heater and heated up to a 101 degrees C, and we get quite a vigorous boil on this through our system. Typically 10% evaporation rate in the hour, so a fairly vigorous boil, which helps consolidate and indeed improve the color of the brew.
Right. Some caramelization during the brewing, the boiling?
Yes, a little bit. And we add the hops. Before it gets to the boil at about 80 degrees C, and they're classic English hops in Goldings and Tuggles.
So you use both for your bittering step, Goldings
both
and Tuggles?
Both for our bittering step, yeah. Basically a 50-50 mix of Tuggles and English Goldings, yeah.
Okay.
In the boil, so that bubbles away. We use pellets rather than whole hops.
Okay.
You're familiar with pellets?
Yep. That's what most of us
our
use.
Our system with the Whirlpool that we've got is pellets. So, a 50-50 mix, and we get a good conversion of the hops into bitter substances in that boil.
Okay, and then do you have any flavor aroma additions later in the boil?
We had quite a lot of whirlpool hops, as we call it. Are you familiar with the term whirlpool?
Yes, yes.
Yeah, we had a lot of Styrian Goldings and Cascade hops to the whirlpool, so to get the citrusy aroma that is classic in Hobgoblin. So we had a huge amount of hops. I'm not prepared to tell you how many, but okay. we do have a significant number, which gives us that lovely citrusy aroma and late hop, you know, refreshing mouthfeel to the beer.
Right. What about the? Are you willing to tell me the split between the two, Styrians versus Cascade?
Probably an 80-20 split between Styrian, 80% Styrian, 20% Cascade.
Okay, great. That's very helpful. So you do use a whirlpool, so you don't use any hop back or hop jack or anything like that.
No, we don't. We don't with the pellets. You don't need a hop back. They break up in the, you know, the very nature of it spinning around in the whirlpool. Yep. Allows the hop pellet to break up, and you get the infusion of the hop aromas coming out for a 20-minute stand in the whirlpool.
Okay, great. And then I guess it's on to fermentation.
Yes, well, it gets cooled down then and gets collected into, as you say, into a fermentation vessel. Typical ale fermentation, you know, collection of about 16 degrees C and right into the top heat of 20. And it uses a yeast that we've had that's been part of the Witchwood group for many years, a top fermenting ale yeast, and it takes probably roughly about 72 hours for the sugars to be converted into the alcohol and into the beer that we want.
Right. Are those open fermenters or closed?
We've got a mix of open and sort of enclosed and partially open, but they're more enclosed than fully open squares. Or you probably would have the term, you know, terminology of open squares.
Right. So they're
mainly enclosed, but they do freely vent of CO2, shall we say, to the of the carbon dioxide.
Okay. So the primary fermentation then is about 72 hours?
Yeah, and then we cool it down then over a couple of days, couple of 3 days down to 8 degrees C.
Okay.
And that allows obviously the yeast to drop out, or we skim the yeast off the top and use it for next week's brewing. So it's, you know, it's a harvesting of yeast off the top of the vessel, and then the beer is then ready to go into whatever packaging format we can either put it into cask, or we can then filter it and put it into can or bottle, really, after that. So that is up to us, really, where it goes into next, you know.
Right. So how long is that conditioning step? How long does it sit at the lower temperature?
Well, it sits at about 8 for about 3 days, I suppose.
Okay.
And then it gets moved into the next stage, which is either into a cask racking tank, so ready to go into a cask.
Right.
So then that would be, and then it would sit in that racking tank for however long it's needed before it's put into a cask. So it's typically between, I don't know, 8 hours and 48 hours, depending on the requirements and necessity of the beer, really.
Okay.
But if it's going to go into can or bottle, it's chilled down to -1 degree C for about a week prior to filtration and then carbonation being put into a bottle.
Okay. So are the
that make sense?
Yeah, it makes perfect sense. The beer is filtered for cans and bottles. Is it pasteurized?
It is pasteurized in can and bottle, yes. It is
okay.
Pasteurized. But obviously in cask, it isn't pasteurized.
Exactly.
It's no no heat gets involved in the cask making and the cask beer process.
Do you dry hop the casks at all?
We don't. No, it's a one that we've debated long and hard in Marston's, and we're moving away from dry hopping lots of it, basically because of the consistency of the beer. You know, some people keep the beer in a pub and they keep it there for a week. The hops are in contact with the beer and they get an infusion of the hops and you're getting the oils coming through and the flavours. And then somebody else gets the same beer delivered and they stick it up and serve it within 24 hours. You can get huge differences in flavours of the same batch of beer that goes out. So right. What we try and do now, we try and do all the hopping regime at the brewery, so when you get the late hops right, you can hop, and in some beers we add hops in containers that we held in fermenters, you know, so we get a consistency of product leaving the brewery, so that the publican will have a similar experience in terms of handling, and the customer will have that same flavour coming through from each beer that he goes to in any different pubs, even though they may store it and hold it in slightly different ways over a period of time. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Yes, absolutely. That makes perfect sense. I know consistency has really become a key thing in the market.
It is. It's very much so. So if you take out some of the, what somebody can add something different to it, you know, I mean, they may argue that the reason why people don't drink in that pub is I do keep it for longer, and therefore the beer tastes better in my pub, but what we want for the customer to have a similar experience from one pub in one town, one city, one country to the next, you know.
Exactly, yeah. So on that topic then, what temperature would you recommend serving this at for optimum flavor?
Right, but I'm probably going to upset the American market hugely now.
That's why I asked the question.
I know you like your like your beers cold. We like our cask ale to be refreshing and cool, but not ice cold. So we like to serve it around about 12 or 13, 14 degrees C, around about that area. So rather than single figures. If you get into single figures, I believe it's too cold. You lose a lot of the flavor, both of the maltiness, the hoppiness, and the aromas that you get from a cask ale. You lose so much. We spend a lot of time, money, and effort putting these flavors into the beer, and then people cool it right down to city temperatures, and you lose it all. So I would say about 12 degrees C is a fine temperature and a refreshing temperature for drinking cask ales. In bottled beers, yes, in bottled beers, you put them in the fridge. But I don't, personally, when I drink my bottled beers, they may be in the fridge, but I like to take them out of the fridge for an hour or so before I drink them, allow them to warm up so you're getting some of the flavors coming through, rather than drinking an ice cold, what could be anything in some places, and it's just too cold. This fascination of serving beer with a 0 degree C or 1 degree C or whatever, it doesn't do anything to me in terms of flavor.
Yeah, I would have to agree with you. I think that is, there is a marked difference between the flavor at the right temperature.
Definitely.
And colder temperatures, no doubt.
Yeah. Do you drink cask beer in the States?
Unfortunately, at least where I am, there's little to no cask ale, and I would say no real cask ale. There are pockets in the U.S. that there are some breweries doing it, but it's very hard to find.
Yes.
Which
it's
is
a shame because it is the classic way, you know, it's beer that hasn't been messed about with, basically. You know, it's literally straight from a fermenter, a bit of finings, you know, you add the isinglass finings in the beer to clarify it, and it's literally that's it. It's you know, good and wholesome and high in quality and flavor, but don't filter it, don't heat treat it, don't serve it cold. Just keep it so you can actually taste something, and that's the way I like to drink my beer anyway.
I totally agree. So do you have any further recommendations for homebrewers trying to reproduce this? Any things that you would emphasize? Or
It's with every home brewery, what you've got to get is consistency. So you know what you've got to have is some sort of a consistency of supply of water. So you know the water that you're using this week, next month, it's got similar salt levels in it. Or if you're going to add things, make sure you add the right amount and the same amount, time and time again. Source the highest quality of materials in terms of malt and hops. Make sure they're fresh, and make sure everything is scrupulously clean. And you can't be cleanliness is next to godliness in the home brewer and in a big brewer. And it's very, very important that you can't overly stress the cleanliness of life in producing a quality and consistent, whether it be a cask beer or a filtered beer. It's all about quality and all about attention to detail, making sure you get your mash temperatures right and your stands right. And again, it's all about consistency. You know, don't overboil or underboil. Do it the same week in, week out. And if you get a consistent product, people will learn to love that product. It may be not what everybody likes, but if it's consistent, you will get a following, I believe.
I think that's great advice. Absolutely. Okay, well, I thank you very much again for your time, Jeff. It's been a real pleasure to have you on the phone.
Okay, Neil, best of luck for the future. Good pleasure speaking to you.
You too. Thanks very much.
Hi, this is Push from the Brewing Network, and I want to tell you about the Brewmaster's Warehouse and how you can get 10% off your next order. I'm a pretty techie guy, but I've never seen an online store like this. It's awesome. Go to brewmasterswarehouse.com and click on Brew Builder. You can whip up a custom recipe so easily, even Sven could do it. Seriously, it's slick. You can share your recipe with your own logo and notes to the Brewmaster's database if you want. And the best part, it keeps a running tally of the beer you're building while you're doing it. Then, bam, click Buy Recipe and your cart is filled and ready to go with helpful suggestions in case you forgot something. This thing is amazing. Brewmaster's Warehouse is run the way a home brewer would do it, with great service, fast turnaround, and $6.99 flat rate shipping. Brewmaster's Warehouse and the Brew Builder blew me away. Check it out today at brewmasterswarehouse.com. I'm serious. And don't forget to put BNARMY in the discount code box for 10% off your order. Check out brewmasterswarehouse.com. Cheers.
Downtown Joe's, located in the historic Oberon Building in beautiful downtown Napa, California, offers an award-winning brew pub experience from 8:30 a.m. to 1 a.m. every day. For 15 years at the corner of 2nd and Main, Downtown Joe's has been voted Best Night Spot 7 times and Best Brew Pub for the last 4 years in a row. Brewmaster Colin Kaminsky's handcrafted ales, like his Tailwagon Amber Ale and Double Secret Probation IPA, are the perfect accent to riverside dining, live music, and a relaxing outdoor patio. Don't miss the Beer of the Month, special rotating taps, and the BN Army Member Special. Wear your BN gear, get 10% off your beer. Visit downtownjoes.com to make reservations, peruse their extensive calendar of events, or just read more about their fantastic beers. Come enjoy the fine beer, food, and music. Downtown Joe's, the award-winning brew pub, where you'll feel at home.
Live. Beer Radio. Brewing Network.
The Brewcasters.
If you're just starting, don't be discouraged by all this stuff. Exactly. It's so easy.
Just throw it together.
Dude. Put some sugar and some water and some yeast in there.
Yeah.
Brewing Network.
Now back to the challenge. Can you brew it?
All right, we're back. We're talking Witchwood Hobgoblin. And during the break, while you guys were listening to the interview, we tasted two blind samples here. One is a smushy-looking kind of thing, and the other one is, it says Bill O'Reilly on it.
Must be the wrong one, then.
Right. Yeah, mine have nothing on them now. That wasn't very good ink I used.
Who's your cellar master?
Hey.
Oh.
Can you turn her mic off?
Hey.
Well, I was, but I didn't have a reasonable marker. I didn't have any of my stickers either.
You're so high maintenance tasty.
I am.
I was told I would have
marker. One is the real beer and one is the cloned attempt. We do know that. So it's just you have two choices here.
I would say that one has a touch more hop character to it.
Well, one has a distinct, very distinct English aroma, which is, to me, is covering up almost. It might just be as hoppy as the other. I just can't tell.
Right. Well, when the all those alcohols and stuff, they oxidize and esterify and all that. So, shipping and sitting on the BevMo shelf in the sun for...
It's part of the conditioning.
Well, it's part of the conditioning. That may have an effect.
Kim, how old is your beer today?
It's 2 weeks today, but the bottle that Jamil has, I bottled a week after I brewed it, and it had, it was really yeasty, really cloudy at that time. So
the color is spot on. I can't discern a difference between the color. And actually, earlier I thought one was a little hazier than the other, but now I think they're the same.
I get a little haze in sample B.
My sample's out of a keg, and it's cleared up a little bit, but it's still a little hazy.
Hmm. So, let's start with Tasty.
Tasty who? Oh, me.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, let's see here. They're both good beers. That's
sounds
good.
Sounds like
good job, Kim. Whichever one you
kind
are.
Kind of feedback I give on Squish Sheets. This is a nice beer.
It's a nice beer. You're 29.
You brewed.
Or this would have been a nice beer.
You know, I would say a malt wise, I can't discern really any big differences. Uh-huh, the malt backbone, the malt makeup. Yeah. So the color backs that up as well, right? That the dark malts are about the right proportions.
I think it's spot on.
Spot on malt.
Northern Brewer.
Yeah. Now, there's obviously a big yeast flavor in what's probably is the real beer, and not getting that in the clone attempt.
Hmm.
So
are you calling clone, not clone?
Well, if we could get that yeast into this beer, I would say it's cloned.
Yeah, I think the yeast character is there. I think, the one is a little hoppier than the other.
Yeah. It's hoppier.
Mm-hmm.
In the finish, too.
Yep.
I am, I don't know what I would change other than...
Would you change the rest?
Was this the white, what yeast was this? Was the white yeast, yeast? Is that it? What do we use for this?
What do you use, the 23 or something?
White Labs 23, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
What is that yeast?
Burton Ale, I think.
Burton?
That's what I think.
Is that the same yeast they use there, or this is closest to what they use at
I think that's the closest that we could find. I think, we kind of, that's going to be the difficulty on this beer, is getting exactly the yeast that they're pitching.
Mm-hmm.
And, What about you, Chad?
I think the English character in the English beer... Mm-hmm. Really stands out, of course.
Right.
A lot of, dark fruit, raisin. But, malt profile and everything is there. I think it's a solid clone.
You wouldn't change the recipe?
I would not change the recipe. Right. Again, go back to the yeast strain, maybe. Maybe it's not exactly what they're dealing with in the brewery, but...
It's pretty close.
It's very close. Very close. Malt profile's there. Might be a little hoppier on the clone version, or what I think is the clone version, but other than that, it's a very good clone.
Mm-hmm.
So I'd say cloned.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. What about you, JP?
Well, I don't know if I matter.
You don't. You don't.
I would say...
We'll entertain the thought that maybe you do, just to keep you pushing the buttons there.
Throw a peanut to the elephant every now and then. I agree that what I think is the commercial beer is a little more bitter on the end. I don't know. Is that the flavor's there, the malt flavor's there. I think that what I think is the commercial clone is a little bit oxidized, a little bit old, kind of like I think what Chad was saying. I didn't really listen. And I don't know if it's cloned. I don't know that. Tell me again. I think that the commercial sample, what I think is a little bit more bitter on the end palate than the homebrew. The homebrew's kind of dry and kind of falls apart. The commercial beer kind of has a little more malt carrying through in the end.
Like the hops dropped out or something.
Yeah.
The hops dropped out, sure.
Well, I think it finishes a little drier, too.
Well, you know, I hate to lean on this as an excuse, but, you know, it's come across the pond. It's been sat on the shelf in the BevMo. And then I left it rattling around in the back of the Heretic van for a couple of days in the heat.
Well, we went.
At least they didn't break.
Truth hurts. We saw a BevMo. Chris and I are driving around. We saw a BevMo. I'm like, oh, I need to pick up some beers for Can You Brew It? So I got the beers, threw it in the back. We got a celebrator to an Eyinger to get another goat for the other fermenter. And then they just bounced and rattled around in the back of that van for 3 or 4 days, getting really hot, bouncing around. I don't know. Come on.
They've probably been through worse than that. Just getting over here.
So. Yeah, exactly. And then Kim's, Andy lovingly carried him in his pants, brought him to my house. It's like, my wife opens the door. He's got this bottle sticking out of his pants. He's like, here. Grab this.
I have something for you.
Now, Kim, were you able to source all the malts, all the crystal malts from, an English maltster? Simpsons.
NorthernBrewer.com.
In fact, Northern Brewer supplied me with all of the Simpsons. They met all of my brewing needs.
Great.
Which is great because I couldn't have gotten those from any of my locals. So, thumbs up, Northern Brewer.
Right. We can't get Simpsons around here.
It has a nice, rich taste to it, the clone as well.
It makes a huge difference.
The English example.
Yeah.
So.
If you want to make any English style beers, go to northernbrew.com, order your Simpsons malt there, or go to your local homebrew shop and
just
say, hey,
English malt.
Come on. You know, get me some Thomas Fawcett's, get me some Simpsons, get me a quality crystal malt that I can use to make some English beers. If you're a big fan of English beers, that's the thing to do. And, you know, support your local homebrew shop, absolutely. The folks at Northern Brewer tell you that too. But when the local shop says, well, I can't be bothered with, use this. Use the discount malt that I can get or whatever. There's a lot of great malt out there, but it's not going to develop these flavors, and you got to have that. So go to Northern Brewer, order up your Simpsons crystals from there and color malts from there, and you'll be very impressed at the flavor you get from that.
I say not cloned.
You bitch.
Yeah.
You're just saying that because you like to be mean to me.
Clearly.
I don't know what the commercial is and what the homebrew is yet. But I think there is definitely one that's a little bit more malty and has a little firmer bitterness on the end than the other. I'm not going to lie. Put your checkbook away. I'm not lying. Okay, $200? Okay.
We're not friends anymore. Just letting you know.
I already deleted you from my Facebook page.
Oh, ouch.
That already happened.
All right, Kim.
Mm-hmm.
You gonna call this clone? Not clone.
I actually am gonna say cloned. I would, maybe just. I think for me, it's the water treatment that I did. I could have bumped up a little bit to make the hop character stand out. Because I agree that the commercial one is a little bit hoppier. So maybe just a little bit more calcium chloride or CaCO3.
I disagree.
But I think it's clone. I think it's so young and it's still to me a little bit too new yeasty,
I think that's the issue right there.
Yeah, and it covers up a little bit of that hop.
Retaining
that,
it's making it hoppier.
In the yeast character, you have to ignore some of the flavors and character. There's a brighter
condition
hop character in yours than there is in the commercial example. And I think that in the commercial example, there's a little bit more of that esterification, that oxidation and all that, and a little bit of super attenuation as it sits warm. And I think if you took a couple of bombers of yours and let it sit, 75, 80 degrees for several weeks or a couple of months.
Some fluorescent lights.
You'd find, the same kind of character. I think that I wouldn't change anything. Yeah. For me, these are cloned.
Like like that sherry kind of note from the
slight sherry
note.
You'll
get that over time, I think.
Right, but,
yeah.
Right.
Yeah. And, just let them keep rolling around in the back of your Heretic van.
Yeah, exactly. I hate to. I should have rolled yours around. I should roll you around in the Heretic van.
Whoa. I'll have to edit that out. Yeah.
Edit that out. Don't let Andy hear that. He already knows. you know, I hate to lean on that, but my experience tells me that, you know, this beer in England is more like your beer. And once you've shipped it and it's spent 6 months, you know, screwing around at the local shop and rolling around the back of the molester van, you know, this is what it tastes like. And I used to think that, you know, all the English beers tasted that way. And, you know, tasting yours and tasting that, I'm like, well, this is kind of the difference between, there's a lot of, you know, very close similarities to them. And I would say if you were strictly going by, well, clone, not clone, based off of, you know, age and suffrage and all that stuff, you know, all right, then they're not. But I know that this is... This actually is done right and it works. So that's kind of the way I'm going. So I call this cloned.
Yeah, I agree.
So it's not a democracy, but I still have a 3-2 vote. So we'll call that cloned. Yay!
Woo!
Success.
Eat it, JP.
I'm not hungry, thank you.
All right. Well, let's do this. Let's take a short break. And when we come back, we will go through the recipe for this fine clone of Witchwood Hobgoblin. Back after this.
BN Army, HopTech has a great discount waiting for you. Do you often find it difficult to find specific specialty ingredients for your homebrew recipes? Well, listen to this. HopTech stocks 59 different grains to choose from, 39 varieties of pellet hops, and 8 kinds of whole leaf hops. And HopTech not only carries Y yeast and White Labs yeast for you, but also Fermentus, 04, 5, 6, 23, 33, and T58 Belgian yeast, plus Cooper's, Nottingham, and Windsor yeasts. Got your recipe ready to go? Pick up some great brew gear like new long and short sleeved shirts, games, and more. HopTech's new website is being updated every day with new items. If you don't see it, call the shop. They're open 6 days a week. BN Army and AHA members get a 10% discount, and active military personnel get 15% off. Visit HopTech.com today for great selection, great service, and a great discount. HopTech.com.
Nico, listen, our lawyers said that we had to do this for 1 hour, and after this, we don't have to talk to each other for 3 more months until the next meeting.
Kids. Come on, let's get out of here.
I'm supposed to have more lines. I'm the professional. Hey, it's Sully.
And I'm Nico.
And we opened the 21st Amendment 10 years ago at 563 2nd Street in San Francisco, just 2 blocks from Giants Park, to make great beer and have a great time doing it.
That's right, because to us, the 21st Amendment is more than just the right to make beer. It's the right to experiment, to be innovative, and just do things differently. And so now, we're putting our craft beer in cans.
That's right, cans. You can find our world-famous Heller High Watermelon Wheat Beer and Brew for Your Die IPA in the Northeast, Northwest, parts of the Midwest, and Alaska in cans and on draft. So next time you're at your local neighborhood pub or good beer store, be sure to ask for 21st Amendment in cans.
Because everyone likes it in a can.
Tasty Crack Cans.
Tasty Crack Can.
Williams Brewing is your online resource for prompt delivery of quality home brewing supplies. Since 1979, Williams Brewing has offered the finest equipment and freshest ingredients and the best customer service in the business. Cut hours off your brewing sessions by using one of our 11 varieties of famous Williams malt extract. Our Williams Belgian Pale Extract is mashed with pure Belgian two-row malt and a small percentage of Belgian wheat malt for an authentic Belgian character you just can't get from other extracts. Or check out our unique fermenters, 2.5-gallon kegs, paintball tank-based draft beer equipment, bottling aids, and much more. We even have our own line of precision hydrometers. Go to WilliamsBrewing.com to browse our vast selection. That's WilliamsBrewing.com. Orders placed by 3:30 p.m. Pacific time ship the same day. Brewing is easy. The Williams way.
Hilo, what's it feel like?
Take awesome and multiply it by 2.
Yeah!
Spraying live beer radio all over your face.
Can't get any better than this, baby.
It's the Brewing Network.
How about that Jeff Drew at Witchwood? Nice guy. Then Neil Spake.
Neil did a great job again.
Of course. Yeah. He's no longer dead to me. You know, he's just, he's a nice guy. Works hard. Take care of us, so. There you go. All right, so bat size, 6 gallons. That's at the end of the boil. And then you can go ahead and rack 5.5 to your fermenter and 5 to your
give some to the dog
at the end. Yeah. There you go. Anticipated starting gravity is 1046, 11.49 Plato. Anticipated SRM using Moray is 15.5. IBUs 36.3 using Rager. 70% efficiency, 60-minute boil. You're going to use 90%, 4.29 kilograms of a pale ale malt, British pale ale malt. You're going to use 7.5% or 360 grams of a British crystal 75 to 80. You can use 2% or 100 grams of a British chocolate malt. And then 0.5% or 20 grams of cane sugar. Hops, 14 grams, Kent Goldings at 4.75 alpha at 60 minutes, 14 grams of Fuggles, 5% alpha acid at 60 minutes. You're going to use 16 grams of Cascade, 5.75 alpha at 15 minutes, and 64 grams, a buttload, I think that's what he said in the interview, Styrian Goldings, 5.25 alpha acid at 15 minutes. We used the WLP 023 Burton Ale yeast, and that, I think, gets you quite close to the Witchwood character. Your mash temperature, you're looking at 153 degrees Fahrenheit. And fermentation? I don't know. It's not on my sheet.
Started at like 61 and rose up to 68 by the third day.
61. What?
Look in your notes on your recipe.
Pardon me.
Is this what it says?
I didn't print the notes.
Well,
oh.
Kim just read them to you.
I shall read them to you. They say start ferment at 61 and let rise to 68.
There you go. 16C. Rise
to
20C.
That woman.
That's
over
right.
72 hours and then down to 8C. See, you know, a lot of these British brewers, they do these weird, you know, if you listen to the Fuller's interviews.
Yeah, what's up with that?
And Chad did this, and I'm like, oh, no, Chad, oh, ignore that crap. You know, I don't know what the heck they're doing, but, you know, you know, they're going up, they're going down, and, you know, like, so we start at 16C, then we go to 20C, and then 5 hours later, we go to 3C, and then we go back up to 8C, and then we go to, you know. And so
just something
like,
to do or something, yeah.
Yeah, it's like, you know, are you justifying? Your
Born
existence,
here, yeah.
But then you did it, and I before when it was not cloned, I told you, oh, you know, don't do it, and then you were like, well, okay, I'm going to follow everything the guy said, and it
made
worked out. So yeah, it made a difference. So you know, just follow the notes that Jeff gave, which was 16C to 20C, 72 hours down to 8C, and yeah. I guess that works.
Would part of the notes be if, you know, Zach can't find this beer in his area and it's very hard, he's probably going to get beer that's been, you know, pretty harshly mm-hmm. traveled. Do you ever recommend people going, like, look, if you really want the commercial beer, like, age this on your roof for 6 months?
Well, you could.
But why would you want to?
Yeah, you put it in your molester van, you drive around.
I need to borrow that molester van because...
You need to molest something?
Well, maybe.
There you go.
Hand out some candy?
Play find the candy in my pants.
You know, I think, you know, the funny thing is, if you look at, like, BJCP judging and all that, you know, these people are, you know, a lot of them have never been to Britain. They've not tasted these beers fresh. and they're looking for, you know, this British character. And this British character that they're looking for is oxidized. And, yeah, I was in Australia. I was in Melbourne and went to this homebrewers meeting. Great group of folks, really passionate about beer, really knowledgeable. And one guy is like, you know, I've been trying to clone these American beers, and I can't. And he's like, you know these breweries. You know, tell me what they're using. You know, let me use that malt. And, you know, we talked through some recipes, some breweries. And I'm like, you know, what flavor is it you're looking for? Because using the right ingredients, using the right process, you know, and then, you know, personally, I'm thinking, well, you know, maybe he's just not a good brewer.
Yeah, that's always an option.
You know, if, we're going to accuse him. The guy was really knowledgeable, and I'm thinking, you know, all these guys seem really sharp. You know, I just don't think that's the issue. And he's like, look, let me go buy a bottle of, you know, I can't remember. I think it's Lagunitas IPA or a Russian River or something, or maybe a Sierra Nevada. And he says, you know, taste that, and you tell me what that is. And, you know, and because I said, well, I think it maybe you're talking about oxidation. And sure enough, he's like, well, you taste that, and you tell me that's oxidation, then I'll believe you. And sure enough, yeah, boy, it was just heavily oxidized. Mm. And, you know, the thing is, you know, he's living in Australia, hadn't been to the U.S., hadn't been able to taste it fresh. So he gets this character in all these beers. Every U.S. beer has this malt character. What are the people in the U.S. using? Well, they're not using anything. It's by the time it gets over, it's oxidized. And that's the character you're picking up. It's got that kind of, you know, sweetness. It's got that, you know, extra fruitiness.
We call it an English character.
Right. You know, we're like English character or German character or Belgian character or whatever. And it's like, you know, how do you get that? It's like, well, just oxidize and beat the hell out of your beer.
And the other point you're going to make is about a lot of these beers we're talking about are classic examples of the style.
Right.
So that's what everybody's judged against it.
And, exactly.
You know,
right.
Nobody
right.
can win except like you did. He'd enter his 3 and 4 year old beers.
Right.
They
right.
do better than his fresh beers.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Yeah. So I would brew something that was like a perfect example of a fresh version of like, you know, a British beer or, you know, and classic, they'd just diss it. It would score like 20 points.
No, I'm British
like,
character.
You know, this is so fantastic. You can't tell me this is a 20-point beer. And then I'd store a few cases away. And then like 5 years later, I'd enter it. It was like best of show.
Like, if I got better in year 6.
Right, right. It was like, you're kidding me, right? Yeah. You guys really don't understand how, you know, the beer is fresh. So, you know, that's, you know, a big part of the problem. Mm. I don't know. Anyways, it's talking about a big part of the problem. You know what's for when you got a big problem, what do you do?
You got any solutions for us?
I got a solution for what's you. That? Go to adamandeve.com.
Oh, yeah.
Dog's licking me underneath the counter here.
You put too much peanut butter on it.
Right.
We're trying to dial in this read for you.
Dial in the amount of peanut butter on my my junk here.
Get you in the mood.
It's your fluffer for the ad.
That's right. Well, Kim, you're not here, so...
Sorry, next time.
Or is she?
Ooh. Fellas, are you looking to spice things up in the bedroom? Been fantasizing about surprising your lover with an adventurous new toy or adult movie? Well, here's an offer you won't be able to resist. Go to adamandeve.com for a limited time. You'll get 50% off just about any item. But that's not all. Oh, no. When you select your one item at 50% off, you'll also receive 3 free adult DVDs. And apparently you get to choose these DVDs.
Yeah, it's check out. Like, I wouldn't know this, but yeah, check out.
It's not like, you know... They just shovel the 3 crappy DVDs. Right. You actually pick 3 free adult DVDs. So right. You get to, you know, if your bent is...
bent where?
Oh. Foot fetish. You
yeah.
get the foot DVD.
Right.
If it's...
I like the mash pedal.
The mash paddle.
What?
If it's the Kim Wood fetish.
When a dry hump to find the mash
paddle. You can get the Kim Wood fetish DVDs. Yes, yeah, absolutely.
Sticky gooey fetish.
For a little inspiration plus a free gift so essential we can't mention on the radio. And to top it all off, we'll even throw in free shipping on your entire order, and no, we're not teasing. So check out adamandeve.com today for this special offer. Get 50% off one item when you type JAMIL. That's Jamel for the Can You Brew It show for the offer code upon checkout. When you do, 3 free DVDs, a free extra gift, free shipping. Just use the offer code JAMIL at adamandeve.com. And keep in mind, these folks are sponsors. They've paid to help bring the show to you. So if you get a chance, and if this is something that interests you, go ahead and check it out. And you know, place, if you're buying this sort of thing, buy it through adamandeve.com and use the offer code JAMIL, and that'll help the show.
They got good prices, and then you get one item half off. I mean, if you're into that, I mean,
right.
I took advantage of
it. Kim,
do you like
everybody should have so much stuff
like
around?
Having
hey,
something half,
you know what?
Half off?
50% off is a really good deal.
It is.
My friends tell me. So you know,
your friends tell you. Yeah.
You're hooking them up. That's great.
And you wouldn't know anything about that extra gift. That's so sensual. You can't mention.
No.
You wouldn't know exactly what that is. You wouldn't be sending pictures of that extra gift to other people, would you?
Whoa!
No. Yeah.
Well, also, absolutely. Keep in mind Father's Day is right around the corner. Oh, so
that's right. What would
help
father
the
enjoy?
Help the old man out.
A little bit of, you know, dick cream. Yeah.
Ooh, it is my parents' 45th anniversary this year. Maybe that would be a good present.
Gag
there you
gift.
Go. Go yeah, well, if
no,
that's
I'm
the case.
I'm not talking gag gift. Oh, wait.
Go
wait.
To adamandeve.com.
Yeah. Pretend
and,
it is.
And load
don't,
up.
Yeah, don't acknowledge they actually have sex.
Use that code JAMIL at adamandeve.com. All right, so let's do this. Let's take our final break. And when we come back. No? No.
I have a question.
We've taken our final break?
Yeah. We're at the close of the show.
I have a question for you, though.
Yes. We have questions?
Well, just from me.
Yes.
Does
it involve beer?
This might be silly, but when I recalculated the recipe for 75% efficiency, the calculated SRM decreased.
Right.
Why?
Well, what software did you use?
Well, I just imported yours into ProMash, and then
use
when
ProMash.
I went from 70% to 75%, it went from 15.5 to 14.8,
right.
And I just was curious.
Did you went
from what to what?
Your original recipe that you sent me was 15.5 SRM, and then when I boosted
right.
up,
but you went from 70 to 75%.
Yeah, and it went right. down to 14.8.
Well, see, and that's the thing. When you are adjusting recipes for efficiency, you really want to just mess around with the base malt as much as possible. Because what happens is, you know, if you are more efficient in extracting sugars from, you know, when it calculates all these other malts, it's more efficient at extracting them. It's going to be lighter in color.
So, should I have adjusted the recipe to potentially decrease the base malt a little bit or increase the chocolate malt?
Well,
I mean, visually the SRM didn't look that much different, but I was just curious as to why it calculated like that.
Well, I think you're pretty much spot on, and generally, you can go ahead and it's fairly linear.
Everything went up by the same proportion because you had more base. You added more base.
Yeah, it locked its batch size or whatever. Yeah.
Right. So, yeah, what I typically do is I'll go ahead and say lock ingredients to batch size and run it up. And then I'll look at the crystal malts and, you know, make sure that they're still in line.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, all the percentages stayed the same. That's why I was just confused that the SRM went down. But I guess you're right. It's the efficiency issue based on the potential in each one of the grains.
Yeah, the sugar. Yeah, the extract potential. Right.
Okay.
Yes.
So is that something, if somebody was going to rebrew this, that they should take into consideration with adjusting any of the malts?
No.
Okay.
Just brew it the way I got it.
Well, yeah,
your
color was spot on. 1046, whatever, the 15.5 or 14.8, what's the difference?
The colors were identical as far as we could tell.
Yeah, we couldn't tell any difference. You couldn't.
Yeah. Okay. I was just curious about that.
No.
Yeah.
You've answered my question well. You passed that round.
Why, thank you.
Well, I have a question as well.
What's this? Like question I didn't open up to the peanut gallery?
It's a question that I know the answer to, but I get it all the time, and I just want your take on it, right?
Oh, yeah.
People ask, or they'll ask me, or they'll comment that, well, when I clear my beer, and they used to say filtering, and now they're saying even fining, it changes the flavor of my beer.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, I think that's sort of in play here tonight with Kim's beer, that the yeast and suspension was making the beer hoppier.
Right.
And
tends to make it more bitter as well.
Yeah, because why? Because the yeast are retaining the bitterness, right?
Yes.
So, of course, when you clear the beer, i.e. the yeast drop out, it makes the beer taste different.
Right.
Yeah, it's different. And the Kim's would taste different if it was clear.
Oh, sure. And, but, you know, clarity-wise, they were very close.
No, no, yeah, yeah.
And the interesting thing is, you know, when these bottles arrived to us through other hands, they were all tilted on their sides. And I'm thinking, oh, you know, the homebrew one's going to be really murky. You know, they were all the same.
Yeah.
I mean, they were very, very close.
Tasty, I was going to just put it into Scotty and have Andy drop it off at Jamil's and then have you filter it for that very reason. I was going to put you to work, friend.
I could have done that,
I think
that,
if you
sure.
filtered it, then it would have been too clear.
Yeah, it would have been the same. It wouldn't have said, it wouldn't look the same at all. Might have been closer, maybe. I don't know. Right.
Yeah.
But, you know, there's a lot of flavor to, you know, yeast and what they retain through fermentation. And that's why, you know, your pitching rate is actually critical because, you know, increasing or decreasing pitching rate or growth rates and things like that, you know, temperature and oxygen, nutrients and all that have an effect on the final character of the beer because, you know, that amount of cell surface that you have, that actually affects how much it's going to pull of bittering or hop character or all that out of the beer when it finally settles out. And it will settle out, and the beer is going to be completely different. Right. So you just need to take that in mind. Or if you're drinking a sample, you're pulling a sample from the beer while it's still, you know, working on fermentation, like, you know, you get these samples, and you're like, wow, that's quite bitter. Yeah. It's like, well, it's bitter because you're tasting the yeast and all the hop resins attached.
That's why when you dry hop, you want to make sure your beer is fairly clear. You may want to even crash or go to a secondary.
A lot of those resins will attach to the yeast, and you'll pull a lot of that out.
Right.
You know, Brynelson, Firestone, you know, they tend to, you know, I think he looks at fermenting or, you know, adding his dry hops before fermentation is 100% done, before the yeast have completely dropped. Mm-hmm. And I think he, you know, you'll lose a little bit because of that, but also I think he's looking at, worried about oxidation, a lot of other characters, things like that.
Right.
I want to just say I was lucky enough to have my Mr. Malty yeast pitching rate calculator on my iTouch that I purchased on iTunes.
Nice
and
plug.
It helped me out greatly when I was doing my starter.
It's only $5.
Worth every penny.
You know, go for it, everybody.
It was fantastic.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I got myself a new phone. I couldn't bear to spend the $5 to get the Android version. It's like, I don't know.
Good choice.
It'll break the bank.
Right. Why would I need that? Come on.
You're out of money on this heretic thing you're doing. I get it. You're
busted. That's true. Yeah, running out of cash. So can't afford any pitching rate calculator. I'll go use the free version.
You're borrowing yeast wherever you go anyway.
You've memorized all of those anyway, right?
Oh, yeah. I know every number. I'm like the frickin' Rain Man of yeast.
Nice.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
You were doing that in your sleep, weren't
Underwear
you?
Underwear at Kmart. Uh-huh. And yeast from Black Diamond. Yeah. Mm-hmm. There we go. Yeah, big thanks to Derek Smith at Black Diamond for providing us a pitch of yeast for our second Heretic beer, Evil Twin.
That's what Bruin Brothers do.
Yeah, no, he was a fantastic guy and, you know, totally.
He gets it.
Just jumped right in there and like, yeah, here's yeast. Mm-hmm. So I really appreciate that. It's made a big difference to us. Otherwise, we couldn't have brewed. We couldn't have had beer for the BNA 6 party. Have beer for the pro night.
That'd be a big empty
like
spot.
That. It's really, really wonderful when people step up and do that sort of thing for you. All right. So I think that's it. I think we're done with the show, right?
Woo!
Kim, you did another wonderful job.
Yeah.
Yay, me.
Way to go.
You are awesome.
Thank you.
If you're only good looking too, that would really cap it off. But yeah, you know, we'll have to just settle with you're awesome.
Yeah. All right. Fair enough. I'll work on that.
All right.
Hey, are there any yeast books in the store these days, Jamil?
I don't know. Check it out. Go to the Brewing Network store and check it out. TheBrewingNetwork.com/store. They have signed books from all the authors that have been on the show, pretty much. They've got shirts.
It's like the Oprah show here.
Yeah, exactly. It's like the Oprah show here. Go check it out, because all that stuff that you buy, the vast majority of the profits go to the Brewing Network and keep these shows on the air. So when you buy that stuff, it really does help a big deal. And check out some of the other sponsors that we have. Northernbrewer.com, You can check out, there's a BYO link there. Click on BYO and you subscribe to BYO and the Brewing Network gets half of that. You can click on the AHA, things like that. Anyways, until then, Bruce Strong.
And often.
You're listening to the Brewing Network.